The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to End of the Bench with your host, Tony Bowie. Tony is ready to talk with you about sports as a former NFL star player, but he's also ready to talk business, politics, and life. Miracles happen at the end of the bench. Now, here's your host, Tony Bowie.
Welcome back to another show on the End of the Bench. So grab your water bottle and scoot on down to the end of the bench because this is where the conversation happens. I have two good guests on here with me today, two former NFL players, Charles Mincy. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, what's happening, Bowie? How you doing?
Good. And I also have Todd McMillan on again with us. What's up, T?
TB, what's going on, bro?
Yeah, so these two guys are former NFL players, good friends of mine, and we love to laugh it up and chuck it up. So we're going to do a lot of that today. One of the things I want to talk about real quick, we talked about this last week, and I just get a kick out of it because Sergio Garcia has a room in his head for Tiger Woods. And Tiger Woods has moved in and brought his whole entourage with him and parked up into his frontal lobe because Sergio can't stop talking about Tiger. So what's recently happened, and you guys give me your take too. So remember last week there was a whole hubbub about, you know, Tiger Woods. Sergio said Tiger pulled out his 5-wood during Sergio's backswing, caused him to, you know, the crowd to start clapping or whatever. Sergio hits a ball off the fairway somewhere and ends up bogeying the hole, and the rest of his tournament went downhill. And you know, obviously Sergio has had this history with Tiger, and they do not like each other, obviously. But so now it comes to the point where Sergio's on the other side of the pond. He's at a European Tour event, and he's asked, kind of jokingly by a reporter, would he, during the next tournament, would he ask Tiger Woods to come over for dinner? And Sergio said, I quote, let me read it right here. Sergio apologized for saying, this is in the Arizona Republic, he would serve fried chicken while making a joke about having Tiger Woods over for dinner. And Sergio says, quote, we will have him round every night. We will serve fried chicken. Chuck, I mean, would you get offended if you were Tiger Woods, or would you just laugh it off?
Yeah, nah, I think it's room to be offended there. And you know, I mean, you know, you don't want to, you know, make a generality, but it seems in sports in Spain, they haven't had a good history with this type of thing, you know, especially with the soccer and all the chants and stuff like that. So I think he knows the climate, you know. I don't think it was just to throw out there. You know, honestly, like you said, you couldn't put it any better, man. The Tiger is a good dose of his life, you know, right now. And he's pretty pissed. And he went as low as he could go to get at him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's room for that.
Todd, what's your take on it?
I think when you've been trying to chase somebody for so long and your game is just not as good as theirs, I think if you got an opportunity to take a shot to make yourself feel better because your game isn't on the same level. And I know Sergio is a good golf player, good golf pro, but, you know, when you're comparing him to the likes of Tiger and the way Tiger's playing right now, I think that was Sergio's way of just being upset, knowing that he can't catch Tiger the way he's playing right now. And I actually watched that tournament when that whole incident went down a couple weeks ago. And I mean, when he wasn't paired up with Tiger. Tiger was paired up with somebody else. And it came down to almost the last few holes on that one. And, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, with the pressure, Tiger prevailed with the pressure. The pressure came upon Sergio, and I know he's played well, but that pressure, he didn't step up.
I mean, you're absolutely right. He hit three balls in the water in two consecutive holes in 17 and 18. And you can't tell me the pressure, the spotlight, all of the attention that was on him from the previous day talking about Tiger Woods, deal was not on the forefront of his mind.
Exactly.
And, I think you're absolutely right. It comes down to this guy, for his whole career, has been chasing Tiger Woods and has not been able to catch up.
Exactly.
And this
is definitely frustrating. But here's a question right here that I think is cool. Do you think he was set up? Like, the question just seemed to almost be leading in a sense. Like, would you invite him over for dinner? You know, I don't know. Like, it seemed like he threw him an underhand pitch with that one. Like,
yeah. You know what? That's funny. That's just like the paparazzi with the stars, how they ask. They'll ask Kanye and Kim Kardashian, so what do you think about Reggie Bush having a baby? It's a loaded question.
Right. Right.
It's a loaded question, so it's kind of like if you're going to fall for the bait or you're going to just, turn the other cheek and keep on walking. And it looks like he may have fell for the bait on that one. It was they got what they wanted.
He's a professional. Fine. He should know this. He's in front of the media all the time, and he knows this controversy is going on, and he still fell for it, hook, line, and sinker.
But, and that is true, and I always tell people, even relating back to the NFL, people forget. They think we're stars. They think we can handle all types of pressure and stuff like that. But at the same time, when you're booed, when they're talking about you in the stands, we feel that. We hurt, and we don't like to hear ourselves talked about. But, same thing. We got to look at it like that. He still is human. He still has faults. And, when you're not playing the way you want to play, sometimes you say some stupid things.
When you're letting that – that kind of scenario affect your playing.
Yep.
That's when it's gone too far. I mean, he literally said, quote, "He called me a whiner." That's probably right, he told reporters. "It's also probably the first thing he's told you guys that's true in 15 years. I know what he's like. You guys are finding out." So he wants to do everything he can to bring Tiger down because he can't beat him on the course.
That's the way I feel.
He really doesn't. He really doesn't like Tiger, and that's obvious. I don't know if it is as much as I don't think. I'm not saying he's a racist. I don't think he's a racist. I think though, the climate in which he comes from may not, view it as that being that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But it's more of a personal thing. If Tiger were a different color or white or whatever, it would have been something. Some jab. I think he took the lowest jab he could take, and in this situation, that was, a racial jab at Tiger.
Sergio's from Spain, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Spain. And you touched on it earlier. Spain, Italy, I know they have in England also, but I know they have a lot of problems with their soccer racism going on out there too. And I know Spain is a big country as far as them having their issues with booing players, booing black players, and making racist chants and throwing stuff on the soccer field. So, what he may view as what he said as just being okay, it's not okay.
Yeah, the climate is very different.
Yeah,
His comment is not, it won't lie and stay in Spain or wherever he's at. The world is now. You say something, it's on the internet in 15 seconds after you said it.
Yeah.
And
he's on the world stage, man. He should know better. He's a bit childish, you can tell. Anybody that lets him, he's childish and spoiled. That's what it sounds like to me. That's what it really seems like. He comes from probably from a background of privilege. I mean, it just seems like somebody who's not able to get their way, and they're mad about it.
Yeah,
he has a beef with Tiger.
That's the bottom line.
Because he can't beat it.
Yeah, typically, golfers come from, middle-class, upper-class families because it's such an expensive sport to play. And he's been good ever since he's been young, which means that he's been playing on golf courses since he was a very, very, very young kid. So that comment about, he probably comes from a a background that is, you know, that is not, you know, in the lower class, is probably true. And we could probably end up Googling that and look it up. We only have three more minutes till we go to break. We'll finish this conversation, and then we'll come back on the other side with some more stuff on the Cavs and their number one pick in the NBA, and the Heat and the Pacers start tonight. So this, I think this is going to be, as far as the East is concerned, the most anticipated series thus far. The Pacers have put on a show as far as NBA basketball goes, and they dismantled New York Knicks. I mean, they put Carmelo and his crew in check, and Carmelo really didn't show up very well in the series there. I don't know if you guys been watching that.
Yeah, I'm not a big Carmelo fan, honestly. I don't like big guys that shoot a lot of jumpers. I just think it's weenie to me, and I just don't like it. To me, you know, there was some big discrepancy in points in the paint in one of those last games, you know, and though Carmelo had a bunch of points, they didn't have any points in the paint. And that's equivalent to running the ball in football. You know, if you can't move the ball on the ground, it's tough to just, you know, win passing. It's tough to just win a basketball game by shooting jumpers.
Yeah, you know,
points from the line either, you know, because they don't bang it inside. I don't care for that type of basketball. I think that's how it's gone fishing.
They gone fishing. classic. That's one of the staples of that show. It's funny to watch those guys at the end of every series send guys off gone fishing.
Yeah, you gotta have some tough guys, man, with your big man, you know.
Now, Roy Hibbert is matured into a beast of a player. I mean, I didn't know. Realize he was that dominant at times. You know, for the Pacers, I was absolutely impressed by him.
Yeah.
So we got. Go ahead, T.
No, I didn't even say anything. You know what? I don't really watch basketball too much. If my Lakers aren't in, I'm turned off.
Well.
Yeah. And I could be bitter because the Lakers aren't in it. That could be part of it.
Now Chuck he's in L.A., so you know he's a Laker lover.
Oh yeah. If my Lakers are in, I'm turned off, man. I'm not even watching it. I may watch a little bit, and the only little bit I'm watching is I want to see the Heat lose. Other than that, I won't turn it on.
All right, guys, we got about 15 seconds to break. Don't go away. We're going to come back on the other side of the segment. We're going to talk a little more NBA, Pacers, Heat. And so don't go away. Come back on the end of the bench.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Every Wednesday, you'll want to talk sports with Touchdown Tony Collins and his co-host Bill Mattis. Tony's broken records and has been to the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl. We'll talk about what's happening in sports every week with news, action, and notable guests from all aspects of the sports world. We'll also involve you by discussing questions and topics of interest sent in via email from listeners all over the world. Become what you believe. Tune into Sports Talk with Touchdown Tony Collins, Wednesdays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Sports.
Listen to the women's side of the fitness industry on Fitness RX Radio. If you're looking to stay healthy and look great, or are getting ready to compete athletically, this is the show for you. We'll look at competitions from the inside out, bring you fitness tips, nutrition to keep you on top of your game, and so much more. We want to hear from you, too, and we'll take your questions by phone or email. Tune in to Fitness RX Radio, airing every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel. Look and feel your best.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This is End of the Bench with Tony Bowie. Whatever you want to talk about, Tony's ready to discuss. Call in to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to info@endofthebenchradio.com. Now, back to Tony Bowie and End of the Bench.
Welcome back. This segment is brought to you by the Band Fan Group, a leading group within Solovay. The social commerce revolution is going on, so if you're paying more than $49 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data, you need to go to End of the Bench Radio and click our sponsor button. Learn how to get $49 unlimited national 4G talk, text, and web, or possibly get it free. So let's finish this discussion about the Heat and the Pacers, and then I kind of want to go into a Kobe Bryant discussion because his injury, in particular that injury, is going to, in my opinion, drastically change the rest of his career, however long it is, because of how that injury, what that injury is, and how you have to come back from it and change your game. But as far as the Heat and Pacer tonight, it is the matchup on the East side that I think I really wanted to see, because I saw the Pacers playing so well earlier in the start of the playoffs in round one and round two that I was looking for a good matchup with the Heat. And I think the Pacers can bring that tonight. Discussion has always been about LeBron and then there's Bosh, obviously, and then Wade and his knee injury. It's kind of, he's not the full Superman, but he's still a top-notch player in the NBA. Many analysts are saying this should go seven. This is the one of the series that should go a full seven.
Really?
And
I think this may be what you're seeing is maybe the NBA championship right here. These very well may be the best two teams left, but I don't see it going seven. I think the Heat are kind of head and shoulders above everybody else playing, everybody else that's left. And, I just don't really see anybody else kind of in the same caliber with them. Indiana's good. They're tough. They play great defense. But I just don't think it's going to be enough. I say five at the most, I think they get a game. But I don't see it going any further than that.
Yeah, the comment by the Pacer coach about the Heat are just another team in their way, and in a way I think was a wake up call and kind of a shout out to LeBron and the Heat, because they, although they didn't respond loudly to that comment from their coach, they did respond. There were comments that they showed in interviews with LeBron and Dwayne, and also Chris Bosh, about them saying, okay, well, they think we're another team in their way, but we're, this is LeBron. He said, we're not just another team. We're a great team. And
yeah.
I think it kind of woke up another competitive level in their game that they're going to be able to bring out against the Pacers.
Yeah, I don't think those guys are naturally, just their personalities. I don't think the guys on the Heat are really rah-rah, kind of in-your-face type guys. I think more, the culture is like that. So they probably, took suit when they first got together and were, doing all the prep, the pep rallies and, all the press conferences and stuff. But I don't think they're naturally those type of guys. So their limited response is probably more – akin to their personalities. But I think that, you know, that that comment probably stirred some things and it's probably going to get them focused and regenerated off of taking a good break here. So I don't think you want to, you know, kind of, you know, feed the tiger in a sense. You know, it's, you know, you don't want to wake up LeBron and have those guys really ready to go. I don't think that was smart. Right. But, you know, we'll see what happens, though. You know, we'll see how Indiana responds.
I agree with you there, too. I don't think that's that team's personality, is they're in-your-face rah-rah guys. That you, there's some other teams that play that type of style of ball, but I think of Boston, they like that kind of rah-rah in-your-face, and, you know, they let you know. But I don't think Miami, I don't think that's their style. They come out and play. Like I said, I'm not a big Miami Heat fan, now that my Lakers aren't even in it. But I will watch them, only hoping that they lose. But
me too.
A bunch of Heat haters on the radio.
I'll be honest with you. Oh, man. I hope they lose. But you know what? We all know they're a good team. I mean, they got one of the greatest players that's going to go down in the history of the game. Man, they come to work, man. They got a good team. They have a real good team.
Yeah.
So, in saying that, I don't think the series is going to go the distance. I think Miami will get them out of there pretty quick.
5 or 6?
I would say 5. Yeah, I remember with the Chicago, you know, me playing in Chicago, I still like the Bulls a bit. Not better than my Lakers, but I like the Bulls. When the Bulls shocked me with that one, it kind of woke up a sleeping dragon. And or sleeping giant, whatever you want to say, and they came out, and after that, they took it to Chicago.
Yeah, they came out and won that first game and kind of woke them up. It was kind of a shocker there.
Uh-huh.
You know?
That's almost like what they needed. They needed a little jump start. It's almost, to me, it's almost like some of these games are boring for them because their team is that good right now. They're playing that good. They're gelling real, real good, and they always play their best in the playoffs also.
Okay, so now we have two Laker lovers on the radio. And I like the Heat. I like LeBron. But it seems to me that because of what happened with his departure in Cleveland and his, you know, the way that it was done, and then possibly the kind of pomp and circumstance that they did with the, you know, walking through smoke and fire when they all were together, kind of rubbed some people the wrong way. And I understand that. But this cat is a phenom, is physically, and is on a mission, just like kind of like Tiger Woods. If you think about Tiger Woods, he wants to get to 18 majors. And LeBron James says he wants to be mentioned as the best player to ever play the game, which means you got to win championships. You got to win at least 6, at least.
Yeah.
Right? So he's on that path. He wants to be on that path. You got Kobe Bryant, who's in the last portion of his career, who is on his quest to get number 6, to equal Jordan. And many people, I don't care where he ends up on the points list, will think he is number 2 or behind Jordan if he doesn't get to number 6. Now, his injury, his Achilles tear, is going to significantly, in my opinion, significantly change the way that he plays the game. He's got to adapt even more to the way Jordan plays in the later years of his career, which is post up, fade away, you know, less dribble penetration unless he's just trying to get contact to get to the line. Because if you remember, Jordan would be getting to the line 13, 14, 15 times a game, and he had 15 points just from the foul line.
Right.
You know, and he'd be scoring 30 points a game. Half of it came from the line.
Right.
Yeah. So in my opinion, you know, Kobe's got to adapt to that kind of play. And they've got to make sure that they surround him with the supporting cast. And I'm not even sure if that supporting cast should be Superman, you know, Dwight.
I'm with you on that. I'm a, you know, big Laker fan. And like Todd, man, kind of, you know, basketball kind of loses a little bit. The air kind of comes out of the ball a little when the Lakers are not in it. So that's just kind of the nature of it for us. But, you know, Kobe has to change. He has to be more of a facilitator. He has to set up other people, and he can't you know, keep the ball in his hands and make a lot of athletic and stunning plays. I think a lot of the ego got into it. He was dunking on people this year, getting up, proving that he was still athletic and he could still get up. But, you know, now you got to play smart, you know, and he's a great shooter, so he won't have a problem with that. He's a good post-up player. And, you know, he just needs to get the ball out of his hands more, you know. And one thing about Dwight Howard that I didn't like, it was obvious that we didn't use him correctly. You know, I didn't like the way D'Antoni did that. But at the end of the day, man, you got to man up. I don't care if they're not giving you the ball, man. You know, control what you can control. You can block shots and get rebounds any day. Nobody has to draw a play up for you to do that. You know, you could hustle. You need to foul out some games. You need to show some effort. You know, crying and whining to the press, that was real weenie to me. And
I'm going to go back on something. And, you know, it might piss some people off that are listening, but you and I, us, the three of us playing in the NFL, what would you think if one of your buddies who was on your team has this big press conference about taking his talent somewhere else, and then, you know, even if, well, let's switch it around. You have a new teammate coming to your team, be it whoever it may be. They make this big press conference about him going to, say we all played for Tampa Bay, and we had this big signee coming into Tampa Bay, and then they allow him to come out in the smoke and all that stuff. I mean, in a football locker room, oh, I think we would just screw it. We would let him have.
Yeah,
go down. You know what I mean. That's so. Let's take it back to that. That's what I just. It's funny to me how different sports do different things. Because in a football locker room, with the way guys are, oh man, that wouldn't even happen.
Yeah, it wouldn't fly.
That wouldn't fly at all. Number one, you wouldn't hear the end of it. Number two, you would be the butt of all the jokes because I don't think they'll let it ride. We would.
You wouldn't. People would be buying feminine pads and sitting in front of the locker room.
Oh, yeah. People would buy smoke machines just for the locker room.
There ain't no way.
You know what I mean?
Being such a weenie. It's so unmanly, man. Like, you just see him, like, after games, he'll be moping and head would be down and lip would be sticking out. Come on, man. Sack up, dude. Like, act like you're getting paid millions of dollars to play a game. You know, win or lose, that you love, that, you know, you're in the biggest market, probably with the best franchise ever, you know, and it's like he's whining. He's playing with, it's not like, you know, he went and he's going to play with, you know, some dude that's not a marquee player. Like,
right.
Really, do you think he was going to come to L.A. and be that dude over Cope, like, right away? That made no sense.
Not even close.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about it. We got 30 seconds to break, but he was in Orlando and he was the man. You know, it was his show. It was
Orlando.
But
Orlando.
I understand.
Even know where Orlando was before he had a team.
I understand that.
Now, come on, now you're talking about L.A. This is L.A. This is a whole different arena. Get him straight, Chuck.
I get it. Hey, hold on to those thoughts. You can get on me.
We're going to take over your radio show. You're going to stop messing with us.
I'm going to cut y'all off in a second. I'm going to hang up on you. we got to go pay some bills real quick. Don't go away for the next segment on End of the Bench. I'm your host, Tony Bowie, on the Voice of America Sports Network.
Hey, don't be messing with the L.A. boys.
Hey, I'm going to click over real quick, fellas. I'll be right back. Professional, crafty, bold, and beautiful. Stage right, lock eyes, I swear it's magical. Her name is Melanie, says she digs my melodies, likes how I move, thinks I'm cool. That's
your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional. Take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We some hard hitters. We
be some hard hitters.
Hard Hitting Radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard Hitting Radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
This is End of the Bench with Tony Bowie. Whatever you want to talk about, Tony's ready to discuss. Call in to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to info@endofthebenchradio.com. Now, back to Tony Bowie and End of the Bench.
Welcome back, everybody. If you are looking to get free cell phone service, go to tweet2getfree, the number 2, getfree.com, and you could possibly win free cell phone service for the year. So we have a caller. So we're going to bring a caller on. We're going to let him ask some questions and then we'll get into our football segment of the show because all of us are former NFL players, so we'll have a laugh on that one. So bring on Troy. Troy, are you on? Are you there?
Oh, I'm here. What's up?
Hey, Troy, how you doing?
What's up, Chuck?
Troy, what's up?
Oh, Lord, we got it. Troy knows Chuck.
We're long-time friends, man. We've been friends for about 20 years, so.
Oh, good. You still friends with him?
Kind of, yeah. Sort of, a little bit.
Troy, you from L.A., Troy?
No, y'all talking about the Lakers. I'm mad at y'all because I'm down here in Minneapolis, and y'all stole the Lakers from us about 50 years ago. Yeah, so.
We didn't steal. They came. I've been with them all the way. With the Lakers. Probably like 2 or 3.
My question, I wanted Chuck to state this on the radio. He is of the opinion that Kobe is better than Jordan, and I wanted to tell everybody why he said
that. Oh, wow. That's like blasphemy.
Hey, man, look.
You're going to get struck by lightning. Defend yourself. Go ahead and defend yourself.
Hey, look, that's my opinion. You know, I'm biased, but that's where I stand. I think that, this is really my opinion. My opinion is this, is that when the comparison is made, people act like it's not a fair comparison. Like, you know, and we're all nostalgic about, you know, the times of the past and all that, but, you know, really, I mean, it's only separating them as, you know, a championship and a couple other MVPs or something, but really it's a fair comparison. And people just act like, oh, you can't do that. Now, why can't you? You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
I
agree.
You know, I like watching Kobe play. That's, you know.
Oh, okay, but Kobe looks like Jordan when he plays.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean come on.
I can't. You know, I mean, that's a good compliment, too. He could look like, you know, somebody worse. But I'm just saying, you know, I think that it's a fair comparison. It's, you know, he came at a time when, you know, Jordan was, you know, just leaving the league, I guess, or just came back and was leaving, so.
Okay, so let's just get to the stats, because stats don't lie. We can get all nostalgic about Jordan and Kobe, but one, Kobe's got 5, Jordan's got 6. So that stops right there. He has some time to get some more, though. So points per game, Kobe has 25.4. Jordan has 30.1 his career.
Wow, that's a big difference.
Rebounds, Kobe has 5.3. Jordan is 6.2. Assists, Kobe is 4.7. Jordan is 5.3. Steals, Kobe is 1.5 a game. Jordan is 2.3.
And that's because Pippen wasn't holding his own. Jordan had to do everything.
Field goal percentage, 453 versus 497.
Yeah.
Jordan is more. 3-point percentage. This is where Kobe has Jordan. And the only place right as of now. And that's 3-point percentage. Kobe is 33-7. Jordan is 327.
And my thing is, I agree that, you know, Kobe is probably the only person you can compare to Jordan. But the thing is, like you guys said earlier, he patterned his life after Jordan. So he can't, you can't be better than somebody you're trying to emulate.
Well, that would be saying, like, you cannot be better than anybody in history because you came after them.
I mean, I'm not saying you can't be better because you came after, but if you're trying to assume their mannerisms and walk like them and talk like them and everything else, I mean, you're trying to be them, basically. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's all a matter of opinion right there. That's all a matter of opinion.
You think
so? That's inadmissible evidence right there. And like they say, you know, it's lies, damn lies, and statistics. I mean, you know, you can twist the statistics any way you want to.
Yeah.
You know, Kobe came in the game at 17.
That's
Jordan came in the game at 21, 22, probably like 24.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you played it. You know, there's a lot of just garbage years that you have for, you know, Kobe's shooting percentage and all those, you know, lost years, I guess you could call him. He's growing up in the league. So
was Jordan. Jordan came out and was on not a very good Bulls team.
That's true.
True. But, I mean, you know, he came out not as young, you know, not as inexperienced. He had a lot of experience. Kids who came out of high school. You know, whatever the case, I'm saying that the comparison is fair, you know.
Yeah.
It's a matter of opinion, you know, in a sense. You know, it's just, to me, it's like people just say it's you can't make the comparison.
No, I think you can make the comparison, but when you look at it with you know, without your heart, you know, because everybody, you know, Kobe's now and Jordan was yesterday, so people want to go with the now. But, you know, if you just, you know, not if you're not so, you know, emotionally tied to the outcome, if you just look at the stats, you know, Jordan has thus far a better career.
He has better stats. I mean, like I said, you know, the stats or whatever. But I think it's the opposite, though. I think people, you know, more stick to, you know, well, older people, you know, kind of tend to be more nostalgic and stick to, you know, years that they remember seeing, you know, Michael Jordan play. I could tell you this, you would have never had, I could never see Kobe Bryant flopping all over the floor and landing in Derek Fisher's hands because he was sick one day because he had a cold, you know. Kobe got busted his Achilles and went and shot two free throws and walked off the court.
Yep.
Yeah, Jordan had to be dragged off because he was a little sick. I like Kobe. I think Kobe's, I don't know, I just like his style of play. You know, I love Jordan, too. Don't get me wrong, but I just think that, you know, this is something for everybody, and that comparison is not just some, you know, it's not just black and white. It's not just, you know, already written in stone, you know, and the book's still open, you know.
Okay,
that's the cold part about it.
T, what's your opinion of Jordan or Kobe?
Oh, you know. The stats don't lie. It's tough. Me being from L.A., and I love the Lakers. But if I were to pick one to put on my team, if I had a dream team, Jordan would probably be my first pick. I must say.
Well.
Jordan would probably be my first pick. I think, I mean, when he got to Chicago, they weren't doing anything. He pretty much turned the team to almost – it was almost like Dallas. It was America's team once Jordan got there.
That's true.
You know,
that's a good point.
Nobody was talking about the Bulls. Next thing you know, you see Bulls starter jackets. You got Bull – everybody had to have something that was Bull-related. And, I mean,
yeah.
Jordan pretty much took that – it's almost like NWA did the Raiders.
Yep.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
He took that team. He took that Bulls emblem, and he made it just what it is today. Because
he took a whole
league
company. He took Nike and put it on his back.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, he did.
To be honest with you, so I mean, I agree with that.
I mean, honestly, what he was doing
had never been done before,
right?
You know,
and that's a good point.
He basically elevated Nike. He basically was. He took the shoe game to a whole different level. He took endorsements to a whole different level. I mean, he even did the Space Jams. He took basketball. He took endorsements. He was America's favorite. He couldn't do any wrong.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. America wasn't going to allow him to do any wrong.
Yeah, you know, if we're going off just, you know, not necessarily black and white, going into the evolution of the NBA and some of the things that Jordan did with Nike and off the court stuff. I mean, at this point, you have to choose Jordan. But if you leave all that stuff out, I do think it's a fair comparison. Like Charles said, it's really close.
Yeah.
But it is a fair comparison.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
My opinion, and this is probably going to get y'all real mad, but my opinion is LeBron has the ability to be better than both of them.
Cut him off, engineer.
Hello.
I'm not saying he's proved it now yet, but I'm saying when it's all said and done.
I can see that.
I don't know.
Yeah. I can see that.
The potential's there. It's just harder to like LeBron. You know, it's just hard to like him. I don't know. Maybe that's just my opinion. I do like LeBron. I like him more now that he's being himself. But with that whole, I'm taking my, you know, that mess was so childish. That's what the kids were doing. That's what the high school kids were doing at the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Switching their hats. I'm going to Notre Dame. No, I'm going to SC.
Yeah.
I'm stupid. You put a whole, I mean, honestly, you had a whole city, and he probably didn't understand commerce at the time. But there's people, you know, there was a lot of those vendors and bar owners, shop owners, where you know their livelihoods were affected by that. You know,
but
I mean,
Chuck,
the people
Chuck,
there were really
though.
Connected.
Think about it.
LeBron,
he made,
you know,
he's made one mistake. He's made one mistake. You know, and that was a big one. But Kobe's made huge ones. You know, the stuff that Kobe did with Shaq and that whole stuff he had going on in Denver and all that. You know, I mean, LeBron's made – he's been a pillar in the communities. He's helped people. He's done a whole bunch of stuff. He's made that one mistake. Are we going to continue to kill him over that one mistake he made?
You know, I mean
– time will fade. It'll fade away.
I mean, like I said, I do like him more now that he's being himself. Just like I said earlier, I don't think all that rah-rah and in your face and trying to be hard and street, that's not really who he is as a person. You know, I don't think that's his real personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so – once he's kind of, you know, now that he's morphed back into who he really is, he's easier to stomach, you know?
Yeah.
It's just at that thing, you know, that's a big one, you know? That's a big one on the basketball side, and I just thought it was childish. And it just seems so kind of, it just represents what I don't like about the younger generation, you know?
Yeah, you don't like those skinny jeans.
If I saw him walking in some skinny jeans down the street, I wouldn't be surprised. Matter of fact, he seems to wear wearing the skinny jeans or skinny pants suit.
Yeah. You make a good point.
And we got 1 minute, guys. We got 1 minute.
You make a good
seconds.
Point with the younger generation because it was funny. I was watching something on YouTube with John Wall, and he was out there at a high school sports camp. And this high school kid walks up to John Wall, and he's just like, I could do you, you ain't no good. But he was serious. He was serious. And I was sitting there thinking, like, that's just, when we were growing up, when we were coming up, you walked up to an NFL player, and you were more like, wow, how did you get there?
Hold that thought. We gotta go to break in the last segment, so don't go away. We're going to be back with our guests, Tom McMillan, Charles Mincy. And we even got Troy on. Don't go away. IntoTheBenchRadio.com. Professional, crafty, bold, and beautiful. Stage right, lock eyes, I swear it's magical.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
When it comes to youth and high school football, listen each week to Coach Al Gross at First and Ten Football. Coach covers vital topics relating to the latest trend on a national level. Join Coach as he interviews personalities from the NFL, NCAA, and the top high school coaches from around the country. Catch all the interviews and get in-depth information online at www.firstandtenfootball.com. Your national resource for youth and high school football. First and Ten Football airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
What's it like to live life on the edge?
Fire in the hole.
It's that feeling of exhilaration after doing something that pushes your limits every day. Action sports athletes live their lives on the edge. Join professional ski patroller, journalist, and author Kim Kircher every week as she talks to guests who are exploring the edge. We'll look at everything, including risks, motivation, and the rewards involved with getting out on the edge. You want to tune in every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Mom's away.
Want to experience football from the perspective of two former players who also have coaching experience? Tune in to Sports Info UM with Daryl Oliver and Sam Sword. We'll talk about the drafts, play-by-play, and even what's happening in the offseason. Daryl and Sam have the connections and the knowledge to bring you the inside stories of the game's past, present, and future. We'll cover the camps, on and off field, and everything else, football and beyond. Sports Info UM is heard Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
High school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
This is End of the Bench with Tony Bowie. Whatever you want to talk about, Tony's ready to discuss. Call in to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to info@endofthebenchradio.com. Now, back to Tony Bowie and End of the Bench.
Welcome back. We have our guests, Todd McMillan, Charles Mincy, and Troy. What is your last name, Troy?
My last name is Russell.
Troy Russell is hanging on for the last segment. And what I want to do is I want to go into the NFL. And there is a report today that Charles Woodson, and I believe he is number two, number three, number four on the all-time interception list in the NFL. He re-signed with the Raiders. He was drafted by the Raiders. Was it 2000-ish, maybe 98, 99, and now he spent a lot of time with after being drafted by the Raiders. He went to the Green Bay Packers, won a Super Bowl, and now is returning for the last part of his career. He signed a 1-year deal today with the Oakland Raiders. He is, and we were all defensive backs, and Charles came into the league as a corner. And as we all know, in order to elongate your career as a corner, in the last few, you moved to safety. And so that's exactly what he's done. He moved to safety last year. And he's got an extra year. Now he's moving to safety with the Raiders. Do you think he's going to make a difference with the Raiders? It's safety.
Yeah.
Charles?
Yeah, I think that it's a good move for him. It's a good place to come retire and play his last year. The Raiders fans are like no other. You know, they're still, just crazy about the team no matter what's going on. It's more of a culture and a lifestyle with them. So, the record doesn't even have to reflect, the type of, craze, fanatics that they have up there, And so that's a great place for him. He's a natural playmaker, man. He's a natural, he has a nose for the ball. He's just gifted at this sport, It's just something, one of those guys that, they say, well, you're born to do that. Well, that's kind of his thing. So that move to safety, he's been playing nickel and some safety, and he even played some in the Raiders when I was there. They were moving him around because, he has a lot of just give him opportunities to see the quarterback and get to the ball. So it'll be a good deal, and I think it's a great move for him, and I think it'll be a great fit.
How long did you play with Woodson?
I was there 1 year. I was there a year and a half, I guess, almost, But, I think that they'll really benefit from his leadership, too, And if he doesn't get frustrated, and that's the thing that can happen, is that when you leave a situation and go back to it and it's in a lot worse shape than when you left it, there's a lot of room for frustration. I've that's happened to me in coaching, you know, being a place and then leave and come back, and it's like, what the heck is going on? You know, things have changed and the systems have changed, and, the same hustle isn't there, the same, you know, drive to be on time, to do the little things, all that type thing. So that may be frustrating. If that doesn't get to him, you know, they could definitely benefit from the type of guy he is. So
yeah, his professionalism for sure.
He's a natural leader too. And a lot of times, I think when you have a young team or a team that doesn't have a natural leader on that team,
mm-hmm.
you can get that team behind one guy who is kind of a. We could say it. I think he will be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And you have a guy like that. And, you know, it's not the same Charles Woodson's of years ago, but what he could provide just being in that locker room, the confidence, the leadership that he could provide makes a big difference. And that's the reason why you find a position for a player like that on your team. You know, and he's a natural ball hawker also. The ball's in the air. I don't care how old Charles is. He'll go get it.
Yes.
And that's the bottom line. I'm sure he's lost a step, but at the same time, you put him at safety and divide, to kind of get some schemes for him. I mean, he can kind of almost pick his career right back up and keep on playing, and maybe squeeze 2 or 3 years out of there.
Yeah. So he has 55 career interceptions. The all-time leader in the NFL is Paul Kraus at 81.
Vikings, baby, Vikings.
So so he's actually tied for number 19 on the list with Aeneas Williams.
Wow.
Yeah, and for corner, that's extraordinary.
Oh, yeah.
Corner.
Yeah.
To make
he ain't playing cover too.
That's what he does. You know, in the last couple of years, he's been playing in the slot, and, you know, he's moved around. So he's a natural playmaker, man. For both sides, I just think that's the best situation for both. So he'll have a lot of fun there, you know, regardless of how long he plays. And it should be a good situation.
So let's move. We only have 4 minutes till close and until the show's over. Let's move into Brian Urlacher. The linebacker for the Chicago Bears has recently today tweeted that he's retiring. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Oh, yeah, my boy is. Make sure he gets in there.
Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Why? He's played 13 years, 8 Pro Bowls.
But you gotta ask somebody else that. I'm kind of guilty by association because that's my boy. So, of course, I'm going to say that. But, I mean, he honestly, Lack was the face for the Bears. Once he got there and he took over, and just the type of playing style that the way he played, was just, I mean, when you thought of the Bears, you thought of Brian. I think for years, it went back and forth between him and Ray. That's all you heard about. Who was the better backer? Was it Ray or was it Brian? But for years, that was a toss-up. You know, and I would say the same thing about Ray. I think Ray is in the same shoes. I think he's up. Ray decided to retire also, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, same thing. I honestly think Ray is a first ballot.
Now, listen to some of the linebackers. There's only 24 linebackers in the Hall of Fame all time. Chuck Bednarik, Bobby Bell, Nick Bonacani, Dick Butkus, Harry Carson, George Connor, Chris Dolman, Bill George, Jack Ham, Chris Hamburger, Ted Hendricks, Sam Huff, Ricky Jackson, Jack Lambert, Willie Lanier, Ray Nitschke, Les Richter, Dave Robinson, Joe Schmidt, Mike Singletary, Lawrence Taylor, Derek Thomas, Andre Tippett, and Dave Wilcox are the 24 linebackers that are in the NFL Hall of Fame. Now, when you listen to that list, now I'm not saying these guys, I'm not saying Urlacher does not belong in the Hall of Fame, but is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I don't know.
Now most of these guys on this list have won Super Bowls.
Right.
That's the only caveat.
That's the only. Well, like I said, I'm biased, and I would first ballot is stretching it, but in the end, him and Ray will be there.
I guarantee.
Ray will be there.
Absolutely.
I actually congratulated him today on you know, his career and everything like that. And I mentioned the Hall of Fame was next for him, which it will be now. First ballot, let's be for real. No, I think he was our coach in Chicago, Otis Wilson. I don't know if you guys remember Otis Wilson. I think Richard Dent. Richard Dent was on the list for many years, and he was our coach.
Yep.
And it was just, you know, we felt bad for him because he was up every year.
All right, guys. Hey, we got to go.
Oh.
I apologize. But I got to cut you off. But here's my quote. Welcome to another Daily Dose of Tony Bowie's Positive Quotations. If you want to make your dreams come true, the first thing you must do is wake up. That's by J.M. Power. So wake up! Wake up, people. Join us next week. Thanks, guys, for coming on the show.
Appreciate
Troy and Todd and Chuck, thank you for coming. Join us next week on The End of the Bench on the Voice of America Sports Network. I'm your host, Tony Bowie.
Thanks for tuning in this week. End of the Bench with Tony Bowie is live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. Go be a miracle. Go BAM! Stage right, lock eyes, I
swear it's magical. The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at
tough
the
shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.